Isaiah 53, we're going to go from here to the Christmas story. You're going to be surprised, because I was surprised when I picked it up during the night, a few nights back, how to do this today. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? And this is Isaiah's revelation of what Jesus is going to come to do. And it's given centuries before it ever came to pass. Spoken by the Spirit. Who hath believed our report? Now, what I do when I study Isaiah 53 is I take verse by verse and give multiple this is my study sheet. As you know, I write on everything. And on Isaiah 53, we have about 7, verse 1, different translations. And then we go to verse 2, and we have another group of translations. This is my passage. This is the one I study all the time. This is my second group of study sheets over the years. We have them on the computer, and then when I totally obliterate them, she runs me a new copy. Now, Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? And that word report is variously translated. One says, who hath believed our message? He had a message. The message of God has to be in your heart. You have to believe that message. It doesn't work because it's written. It works because your heart embraces what is written. And God's Word translation says, who's believed our message? But the one I like, today's passion, says, who has truly believed our revelation? And truly, it was to Isaiah a great revelation, understanding it was given to him by the Spirit. He said, who has believed that? Now, we have to hear and believe. And here's the important part. It says, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is the power of God. And it's translated power almost exclusively. And it's translated saving power, awesome power, mighty power. Now, it asks a question. Those are questions that you can answer. Who hath believed the report? See, we usually have two reports. We have the report of the flesh and the mind and the report of God. And they're usually contradictory. And we have to stay on God's side and not contradict what God has said by going with our emotions or our feelings. And says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the mighty power, the saving power revealed? Well, the saving power, the power of the Holy Ghost that heals and saves and sets free, is revealed to the man who believes the report. And those questions go together. You believe the report, and the power of God begins to work in you. Now, I have to be careful that I don't contradict the power of God with my thoughts and with my confession. That's easy to do when you're fighting a battle in your body. Who hath believed our report? See, and the thing, when I read it, I believe that report. I will not contradict that report by siding in with my emotions and with my feelings. And I'm expecting that the power of God begins to work in the Spirit. It works from the inside out, most usually. It can come upon you, but usually it's because you have embraced the Word of God. And when you embrace the Word of God, by its power, begins to spread into your body, whether it's progressive or whether it's instant. Instant's better, don't you think? But it doesn't always come instant, but it is progressive. And in this time of progression, we have to be careful not to turn loose of the Word of God. Who hath believed the report? You say, I believe the report. Who has the mighty power of God been revealed or been acting in your life? And it comes through the report. It comes through the record of what God has done that is written by the Spirit and is imparted to you by the Spirit, planted in you by the Spirit. What's written by the Spirit is imparted to you by the Spirit, and it begins to work as you believe and speak the report. Now, turn to Luke 1, and let me show you something. This is Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary. We know that from the Scripture. And verse 6 of chapter 1, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the law blameless. Don't you wish that could have been said about you? I do. Blameless. What a strong word. Now, it says in verse 7, they were well stricken in years and had no child. And that's very important to the contents of what we're talking about. They were well stricken. One said she was of old age, and well stricken means she was of advanced age. So when the angel comes and announced to Zacharias that they would have a child, he did not believe the report. He refused the report. Now, it's interesting that verse 13, the angel said, fear not, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Now, if they are well advanced in age, and Scripture says they are, and his prayer is heard, and he doesn't believe the angel, what do you think happened to that prayer? He turned loose of it. And what made him turn loose of it? His age. It was too late. He's strictly going not by what God can do, not by the overwhelming power of heaven, but by what he sees in the natural. They're too old. And he just turned loose. He said, your prayer is heard. Elizabeth shall bear a son, call his name John. And here's his response. Zacharias, verse 18, said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? In other words, what he said is, can you prove this to me? Now, you would think if you saw an angel, you'd believe, but that is not necessarily true. Everybody in the scripture, almost exclusively, that saw angels fell into great fear, including the women who found the angels at the tomb of Jesus, fell into fear. And Zacharias said, how can I believe this? Can you prove this? See, God's word always comes to pass when it's embraced in faith. This came to pass. And how did it come to pass? Remember what happened to Zacharias? He was not allowed to speak. In fact, it was the eighth day of John's life when they took him to the temple for the official ceremony that his mouth was open and he began then to speak. And he, by then, see, you can imagine, he's at the temple in Jerusalem. He was the one that they only did this privilege once in a lifetime to offer the incense. And the people were waiting for him to come out from offering the incense. And when he came out, he couldn't talk to them. And they knew something's happened to Zacharias. Well, when he finished his tour of duty and he went home to Elizabeth and she became pregnant, now he has something to say. And he can't say it. I don't think God was judging him or punishing him. He was keeping from messing things up. I just believe that's what it was. He said, you know, oh boy, you need time to think this over, to mull this over. And so he wasn't able to speak. We have that in verse 20. You can't speak until these things shall be performed. See, the word of God is performed. Who hath believed the report? If you believe the report, Isaiah 53:1, then that word, the power for that word comes to pass in your life. And you hold fast until the power is fully effective. It may be progressive. It usually is progressive, although instant is very good. We were just listening to a audio, and four ladies in Africa brought their unconscious friend to a meeting in a wheelchair. I mean, in a wheelbarrow. And they were in the back. Nobody knew they were there. And sitting in the atmosphere of the preaching of the minister, she rose up from that unconscious state and was totally healed. It was instant. Instant's a great thing. But I'm not discouraged if it's not instant, because it always happens if I don't turn loose. If I don't let my mind and my will and my body, you know, I don't know about your body, but mine is older, but it still speaks real loud. You notice that? Now, Zacharias said in verse 18, how shall I know this? Whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. And he's telling the angel, you're confused. We're too old for this. I don't think that was a good response. He had prayed. He's obviously no longer praying. He had believed, whether briefly or not, we don't know, but he had given up faith. And now he said, you don't know, angel, but this isn't going to happen. We're old. Now, when I look in the mirror, I know I'm older than I've ever been. You probably realize that too. I'm not finished, but I am older. A little bit slower in a lot of arenas. But he who begun a good work in you, will complete it. He who hath begun a good work in you will complete it. So we have here a perfect example of Isaiah 53:1. Who believed the report? To whom is the arm of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the saving power, the mighty power? Who's it been revealed to? And it's revealed to the man who has a report, believes the report, and sticks with the report. You can't give up the report because you think it's not working. First of all, you cannot see into your human spirit. If you could see, you might change your thoughts and your confession. But your confession is based on your trust in God, the fact that God said. Now, we'll be back to Luke in a minute, but let me read this verse to you from Isaiah 55. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Did God send the angel to Zechariah for the word to come out of his mouth? The angel spoke the word of the Lord. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. When something void, it's empty, it's futile, it's useless, it's done, it's gone. And God, here's God saying, that will not happen. That will not happen. The only way it happens if I could surrender, if I give up, I say, well, you know, at my age. That's what Zacharias, if he had been an American, that's what he'd say. Well, at my age, at Elizabeth's age, it shall not return to me, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I intend it. What God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, this is going to work. But it says, who believed the report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The man that believes the report has the arm of the power, the saving power of God constantly working. You need to know whether or not you feel it or see it or think it. It's working. And you need your mouth to constantly in agreement with whatever God has laid upon your heart and whatever verse of scripture that you're holding fast to. You can't hold fast to thin air. And if I ask you what scripture are you relying on, you would know that. It's the one you put on the front of your refrigerator. You remember that?
Yeah.
Now look back at Luke. And the angel comes then to Mary. Verse 26, Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now that word espoused is very important. They don't do weddings in those days like we do today, and they would have a wedding ceremony, and it was basically what we would call an engagement ceremony. They would have a wedding, and she became Joseph's wife. So this word espoused, they had had the wedding, but she doesn't go home with him. She lives with her parents for a year in order to know how to be a proper wife, because she's between 13 and 18. She could be as young as 18. That was not unusual in that day. And so for a year, he has a wife, but they do not live together and they do not unite in any way. That's the custom of that day. Now, that's why you will see her commitment to the word of the Lord. It's history says that her daddy worked in the temple, so chances are, even though she was a female, they had very little or no training. She must have had some training from her father because she came quickly into agreement with the angel. The angel came and said, hail thou highly favored, that's verse 28, highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And then said she was troubled at this saying. She thought, what in the world is this? Have you ever talked to somebody and they said something and you wondered what in the world they were talking about? Me too. He said, highly favored. The Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, this is just a teenager who is married, but in that first year of espousal. And then they will have a second wedding ceremony when she will go home with him. But the first year is a year of training and expectation. Do you think that'd work in America today? No, I don't think so. Blessed are you among women. Now that phrase is very important because when the Elizabeth becomes full of the Holy Ghost, she says that same thing. Blessed are you among women. Now the person that really needs to believe that is Mary. Okay, the angel got it from God. Elizabeth, it said in verse 41, was filled with the Holy Ghost. She got it from the Holy Ghost and said, blessed are you among women. That's in verse 42. But when you come over to Mary speaking, she said, all generations will call me blessed. Where did she get that from? She heard it in Elizabeth. She heard it from the angel. She's believing. Who shall believe my report? She's believing what God is saying. She's believing the report of the Lord that she's blessed. She's believing that. Now, there was a movie out on Mary. It's strictly fiction. But it shows you the trauma that as a young girl who is now pregnant, but married, but not living with her husband as yet, that she could be stoned and killed. That was the punishment for being pregnant out of wedlock. But now Joseph, he's thinking about divorcing her. He doesn't want her killed. He's thinking he might divorce her. Now, she knows she's best. And in spite of all that tension, And you see that tension so well in the movie. I don't know, what is that movie called, Suzanne? Was it just called Mary? It's a great movie. You can probably find it in the archives of movies. I don't know where you'd find it. Suzanne loaned it to me. Now, she's blessed. She's hanging on in spite of the tension, in spite of all the obstacles. Now, Zechariah instantly turned loose. He had the word of the Lord. See, we have the word of the Lord. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the power, the saving power, the awesome power, the mighty power of the Lord revealed? It's revealed to the man who refuses to turn loose or contradict the report. Amen. That means we have to spend a little bit of time of repentance. Say, excuse me, Lord, I take that back. Amen. I mean, be quick to repent. It'll help you. Now, when the angel speaks to Mary, are y'all following me? Have y'all ever examined these scriptures? Well, you should. The angel said, verse 31, you shall conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. Now she says to the angel, verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? See, she did not intend to break the law. She intended to maintain her stand with God according to the law. She was not going to compromise. And see, we do that. The world does it. We compromise with our feeling and our emotion and turn loose of that which is right and just and righteous. She's not going to do that. She said, well, I don't know a man. How can this happen? That's different. Zacharias was saying, you prove this to me. She just wanted to know how to cooperate with the Word of God. And then the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the High shall overshadow thee. That holy thing which she bore thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, do you think she understood that? I doubt it. he said, oh, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and you'll conceive. She thought, oh, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I doubt that was her. We don't know her response. We don't know her response, but I read that verse and I think she didn't understand that. I doubt she understood that. And then he told her cousin Elizabeth, who was of old age. This is the second time we have reference to Elizabeth's age, because we need to know that all things are possible with God. When God speaks, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how ignorant you are, what little you know. When God speaks, if you agree with his words, whether or not you fully understand his word, who hath believed the report? If you believe the report, you speak the report, you refuse to compromise and contradict the report, then the power of God, whether or not you feel it or see it, is working to bring that to pass. Is that amazing? Amen. Now we have, keep your finger there, a number of verses. 1 Kings 8:56 is one of my favorites. It talks about the report of the Lord. And it says, blessed be the Lord God, who's given rest unto his people. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. There has not failed one word. You know, if I said to my child, Suzanne, we will buy you new tennis shoes tomorrow. And tomorrow, I learned this quick. Parents don't get this. They don't let me teach children and their families, and I guess there's a reason for that. But tomorrow comes, and I just am too tired. I said, oh, we'll just do it the next day. I will just do it. If I said on Tuesday, we'll do that tomorrow, and on Wednesday I said, oh, we'll do that Thursday, I failed by one word. The only word that changed, I said, we will do that Tuesday. And then on Tuesday I said, we will do that Wednesday. I lied and failed by one word. And it says, and that is common. See, and if parents would learn what you say, parents and grandparents, is we will do that as soon as possible. Please don't lie unintentionally. You're a liar. You got that? We will do that as soon as possible. That teaches your children, grandchildren, integrity. They have to understand to stand with truth. A lady came to me years and years and years and years and years ago. And she had made a tragic mistake, and she wanted to know, should she repent? Well, that's an easy question to answer, and we did advise her to repent. And the consequences of that repentance were severe. But God made up to it. It all turned out all right in the end. Now, it says, not failed one word. If God makes a promise, he's going to keep every single word. The scripture says every jot and tittle, which doesn't make any sense to us. That's every period and comma. That's my interpretation. Now, let's look also at Exodus. See, the reason you have to keep up your confession, because unless you change your mind, God is going to come through. Is it Exodus 23? Do y'all know? I forget where it is. I've been around the moon today with Thanksgiving. Numbers 23 it is. I knew Exodus didn't look right. We quote this one to you all the time. I want you to look at it. Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie. In other words, when God said he'd do that for you, he'd do that for you. When he said by Jesus' stripes you were healed, that's it. Every word comes true. Unless I compromise, unless I contradict, unless I do too much blab and say, oh, I feel terrible. My knee is killing me. I always pick on my knee because I have very sound knees. That he should repent. God never has to repent. He never breaks his word. He said every single word he said will come to pass. If you believe the report, if you speak the report, if you act on that report, if you hold fast to that report, from the report, the word of God is living. Hebrews 4, it says it's quick. The word there's used quick. If you hurt your fingernail down into the quick, that's the only way I know we use that word. There's living tissue down there. It's very painful. And it says the word of God is living. In other words, when you speak the word, you're speaking life. You're putting life into that situation. The word of God is living. Jesus said it is spirit and life. And that would be in John 8, I think, for those who like references. Let me just flip over there and see. John 8:63. It says the flesh, it's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. In other words, your compromise with the flesh made you a loser because the flesh can't bring this to pass. And then it says, the words I speak, they're spirit and they are life. So there is life. In other words, the word of God has enough power in it to bring it to pass. Just by speaking that word, you're releasing the power to bring what you said to pass. And if you don't, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord, the power of God, the mighty power, the awesome power, the saving power? To whom was it released? It's released to the man who refuses to turn loose of the report. Amen. Our dear friend's son had cancer in his leg and they want to take his leg off and he refused. And so he went to several specialists, and they all agreed that he needed to lose his leg, but he refused. So his mother took him to a healing conference. He was not even saved. He didn't know the Lord at all. But he agreed to go. He's desperate. And they were going to lay hands on the sick, and there's no way. He says, no way I'm doing that. There's no way I'm getting up in front of all these people and doing that. You can forget it. He said, I'm going to sit right here, and I'll be healed right here, and I'll leave here, and I will be healed. And that's exactly what happened. Because in spite of his ignorance, in spite of his being lost as a goose in a snowstorm, he hung fast to the report. Amen. He held on to the report. What does it say? By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Well, I didn't even see the stripes. One translation says by his lashes, which I particularly like, by his lashes. Something about a stripe that doesn't make a dent in the flesh. I don't know what you think. That's just me. But when you say lashes, I get that. I think that's what my mother did with the peach tree at the back door. I think that's why I remember that. We had this peach tree that never had peaches. You know why? Because my mother kept taking the branches off and using them. What? Now, turn back again to Luke. I want to show you a couple other verses. When the angel spoke to Mary and said, the power of the Lord to come on you, and told her Elizabeth was having a child. Here's verse 37. It's a very powerful verse, very important verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That word nothing comes from three words, and it means not any utterance or not any word. And it really says with God, not any word is impossible. Now here is my cheat sheet that they ran for me this morning. The EXB, which is we won't go what that is. God can do anything. Because nothing is impossible with God, because no word message from God will ever fail. It only fails if I fail, if I turn loose, if I quit trusting God, if I don't believe the report, hold fast to the report, speak the report. And then it says, the Phillips, which is an older translation, you can get in paperback, it's very inexpensive. For no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. No promise of God can fail. So if the promise won't fail, who failed? You did. Have you ever failed in the promise? Well, I have. Not one promise of God is empty of power. The Word of God is alive, and it has the power to fulfill itself when it's embraced. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Nothing shall be impossible. Every word's going to come to pass. I'm going to hold fast to the Word. And then here's the verse that confirms Mary's faith. And she's just a kid. Keep that in mind. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." Whether or not she understood exactly what he said or how it's going to come to pass, she said, "I'm going with you. Whatever you say, that's coming to pass. I'm agreeing with you. Be it unto me according to your word." What did Zacharias say? Mary, Elizabeth and I, we are very old. Don't you know that? He instantly rejected the word. Who hath believed the report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He instantly rejected God's word. And then when he came home and she conceived a child, I know he had words to say. I know he had a speech. And God said, "No, no, 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 no." We used to do that to Ashley when she was little. I'd sing. She'd say something. I'd say, "No, no, 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 no." And one day she caught on. She's a smart little cookie, even to this day. And she said, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." And no matter what your body says no, but your mouth says yes. Yes, yes, yes. You see that? So why do you holler at me? I don't know. Then Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." And then she goes to visit Elizabeth, verse 42, and Elizabeth said the same thing the angel said, "Blessed are you among women." And then when you come to Mary spoke after Elizabeth did, she said in verse 48, "All generations shall call me blessed." She instantly came into agreement with the angel's message. See, some of us would say, "Well, I hope this is a blessing. You know, at my age." I said that the other day. That's why it's on my mind. I was sharply corrected. I was gently and lovingly corrected. Sort of. Well, you look in the mirror and you just look older. Have you noticed that?
No.
And you let your mouth. You cannot let your mouth contradict the Word of God and win. You can't win that way. Okay. Now, as you know, Mary did conceive a child. And when that happened, Zachariah's mouth was opened the eighth day of John's life. And he said, he fell into the Spirit, verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, he hath visited and redeemed his people." Instantly, he was on God's side. See, God isn't going to give up on you. He's a merciful God. He isn't going to reject you. He isn't going to say, "You know, after that, I'm not even listening to the next thing you say. You can forget it." Because he's a merciful God. And when Zacharias opened his mouth, the Spirit of the Lord filled him, and he said, "Blessed art thou, Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." That word "visit" means to visit with a purpose, to visit with an aim, with an end. Now, my grandmother, she was very, very petite, but in her last 5 years, after Granddaddy died, she didn't do as well, and she dropped down to 70 pounds. Well, there's a lot of things, and less sometimes, there's a lot of things she couldn't do for herself. So when you went, this is the word, you went to visit, but you had a purpose, you had an aim. There was something that she needed you to do. Now, Mother usually went. One day, Mother sent me, she had something to do, and she said, "Your grandmother is fixing lunch for somebody." I went, "Oh, brother." She wasn't strong enough to stand on her feet very long. She said, "I can't go help her. Would you go help her?" So we went with that purpose. Now, here's the purpose. He visited to redeem. The word "redeem" means to buy back from the power or authority of another, to buy back. It doesn't mean to buy. You go to the grocery store to buy, but you never did own any of those. Those weren't yours to start with, but you're paying to bring them to your house. This word means he's coming to get back something that he used to own that he doesn't own now. He's coming to re-own. He's coming to transfer them. What happened to Adam and Eve? They sinned, and in sin they fell into spiritual death in the kingdom of darkness. Now Jesus is going to come, and he's going to redeem them or buy them back, pay the price so that they can come from darkness into light, and that's Colossians 1:13. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, my daddy told me, they've been gone a long time, that he was the first, he worked for dry cleaners. He was the first drive-through window. Well, I didn't know what that meant. You see, we need to investigate some things. We need to check the scripture. We need to check words. I said, what did you do? He said, I sat on the curb on a stool. That was your first drive-thru. And he said, I sat on the curb on a stool. Well, see, when I don't understand, we just don't read past a word and say, what is redeemed? Redeemed means to buy back. Okay, you pawned your grandmother's ring. You inherited it. It didn't have any stones in it. Older rings seldom had stones unless they were wealthy people. They were cut a particular way in the glass so that they would shine in the metal even though there was no stones in them. And so you pawned it. And then a week later, you wondered why you did something so dumb. That was your grandmother's ring. And so you're going to go. They're not going to give it to you. You're going to have to buy it back. It was yours. You lost track of it. We were gods by creation. But sin caused us to fall into the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus came to redeem, to buy back. Is that amazing? That Zacharias knew that in the spirit. The Zacharias that said, are you kidding? We're old. But he had several months to think about it, to contemplate it, for God to work in him. I just say, work in me, God. Work in me. Explain things to me. He came to redeem. Now, in redeem, he's going to pay the price so that your sins are remitted. Remitted means to blot out or cancel. Your debt of sin is canceled. It was canceled when Jesus' blood was shed to redeem. It took the blood of Jesus to redeem, to buy you back, to provide you a way to exit the darkness into the kingdom of light. And then your sins were remitted and you became the righteousness of God. Those are all our words. Now, I don't know if God knew that when he originally wrote the Bible in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, I think. But the English words that talk about the great plan of God all start with an R. See, this is what teachers do. God enables the teacher to see what you might not have seen that would help you. That's the gift of the teacher. And when I saw all those words, I thought, they all start with R. Now, you became the righteousness of God. You were redeemed, bought back. Your sin is paid for, remitted, canceled. And you are now righteous. That means fully acceptable to God. And being fully acceptable to God, you're now reconciled to God. You're not alienated. You know, when you have a marriage in trouble and you bring in somebody, he's going to say to her, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to meet her over here, you need to meet him over here. You have somebody to bring them together. And we were brought together by the blood of the Lamb. And it's the word of our testimony. Who hath believed our report? It's the report that we believe, that we speak, that brings us into the fullness of salvation and that meets every single need we'll have till death do us part. And I don't know why I tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because it's always important to me. Something somebody said years and years ago, don't know who said it. He says, it's our privilege to walk with people to the edge of eternity. And you need to look at it to when you help somebody who's definitely going to step over into heaven. It's your privilege to walk with them to the edge of eternity. I think that is so, it's always been so important to me, having walked with, you know, you never expect to be the senior person in your family, and then it happens. Did y'all know that? Did you know you're looking at the senior combi right here and right here? Wayne has two brothers and a sister. They're still living. Okay. There's righteousness, fully acceptable. Redemption, the price is paid. Reconciliation. You're now united with God. and friendship. And the message we're told in Corinthians to give the world is go tell the world they've been reconciled. They have to receive that with their words. Who hath believed our report? That's the thing I'm hammering at you. The report is, if you accept Jesus, you are now the righteousness of God. You're fully acceptable. You've been reconciled. You're not an enemy of God. You have no debt to pay. Your debt is totally paid, and it's paid through the blood of the Lamb, which was the price of redemption. Now, what accomplished all that? Are you ready? Resurrection. Resurrection. Now, Zacharias didn't know that, and I don't know. Mary probably was raised in the temple. History says she was raised there. Her dad worked there in the scroll room where they kept the books, you know, unroll the books. So I don't know how much she knew. But one thing we know, she was highly favored. The Lord was with her, and she was blessed among women. You know why we know that? Because that's what God said. And it wouldn't matter if we had known her, what we knew about her. It wouldn't have mattered at all what I knew, what I saw, what I thought. All that mattered is what God said. And all that matters to you is what God said. And he said, surely he hath lifted up, carried off, and removed to a distance the entire weight of your griefs, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. That's Isaiah from the Amplified. Now the word, surely he hath borne, B-O-R-N-E, it's in Isaiah. Surely he hath borne our grief, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. Surely he hath borne. Do you know what that says in the Greek? Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Greek, born, taken away, N-A-S-A, NASA. Now the one thing we know about NASA, when they put that rocket on the stand, it's up and away. And that's what this word means. He bore your griefs, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. Jesus took it, and it's up and away. It's gone. The other word that's used is, I forget what it is. Seems like it's the word sval, but anyway, it has to do with how heavy it was. It has to do with the weight of what was borne away. So he took the heavy weight of sin, lifted it off, carried it away, and all I have to do is believe that and say that. Is that amazing? Believe the report. Believe the report. And in that, it surely hath borne our... Notice what the words are there. Grief, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, sorrow. All of those words are in that verse. Every word. It's been done. So what's your part? Believe it. Say it. Now look at James 1. Is this all right? Y'all getting this? It's amazing. Some lessons keep me up at night. It's terrible. One morning, Wayne hunted for me. I was in the office drinking hot tea at 4 o'clock. I do that. This lesson did not keep me up. I slept all night. That's unusual for me. Because my heart grasped it and held fast to it. And I knew when I get up in the morning, my heart will be holding this lesson. Not to mention I've taught it over the years many, many times. Now look at James. Verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. It's talking particularly about wisdom, but it applies to anything you ask for in faith. It says, ask in faith and don't waver. And then it talks about the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. In other words, the wind drives the waves. Well, what drives your doubt? It's talking about don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't compromise. Don't contradict. Don't give up. Don't quit. What drives your, it's your mind and your feelings drives your faith. Until doubt forms. He said, just like the wind drives the waves, don't let doubt drive you and compromise your faith. Don't do that. And then the next verse says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, we just need to make note of that. That's sad. But doubt doesn't get you anywhere. It gets you to loss. But here's the thing. Repentance restores you. And then it says, a double-minded man is unstable. We were raised in a non-alcoholic family. Nobody in our family drinks ever for any reason. And so I don't know anything about unstable except what I've seen on TV. And when they drink a little bit, they seem to be a little tottery. And we had a bar down from us. It's closed. Here's what we did. We closed it. But you can't close it and injure people. So we believed for months and months, every person in that bar would have a better job. And over time, the sign came up. They went from 7 or 6 days a week they were open to 3 to 2, and then they closed. And you know what I know? Every person in that bar had a better job. Because you cannot hurt people. You have to be of help to them. And that atmosphere was not of help to them nor help to any client. So I don't hesitate to close it down. But I have to watch how I do things. So you have to be careful how you do things. Okay, that's free. But they are unstable. One night we were at the red light that's by the bar. It's just been remodeled. It's going to be something different. That'd be good. We're at the red light, and we say it's dark. It's late at night. And we waited. And the car in front of us, there's a car in front of us. And it didn't move, and it didn't move, and it didn't move, and it didn't move. And we waited, and the light was red and green, red and green, red and green, and blink, blink, blink. And finally it dawned on me. I said, Wayne Cumbie, that man is drunk. He just came out of the bar, and he's waiting on that. And at night, it's just a red blinking red. He's waiting on it to turn green, and it ain't going to turn green. And we've been sitting there 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes. I said, take a wide berth. You need to take a wide berth and go around doubt. Don't let doubt capture you. Amen. Don't let your body and your mind be like the waves of the sea. Don't let it toss your faith and destroy it. Anyway, we did go around him, and when we look back down, he's still there, unstable. Doubt causes you to be unstable, and this uses the term double-minded. That means you had two opinions. Yes, it's working. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Well, no. It's working. No, it isn't. So don't let that. See, it put the responsibility. A double-minded man is unstable. Let not this man think. I'm responsible for my mind. You get that, don't you? Who shall believe the report? I do. I believe the report.